with you all here at Fifth Ward. The last time I was here, I didn't get to go in the hospitality suite. Now, Brother Mobley said I was one of your own. I'm technically not a member here. Let me just say something about that real quick. Many people ask me all kinds of questions, where I preach and where I live. My wife, well, my family and I just moved from Louisiana in this summer. In 2010 to 2012, I preached in Sealy, Texas, at the Anderson Street Church of Christ. I don't preach anywhere anymore. Well, at the prison. So for those who were a little confused, that's where I am now. Actually looking for somewhere to do ministry. So Fifth Ward, if y'all looking for assistant preacher, amen. Or, yeah. What that mean? What does that mean? Actually, I'll graduate with my master's in ministry next spring. So y'all pray for me. So that's another plug if y'all ever think about, amen, getting somebody here. All right, let us, now the brother read the wrong scripture. I actually said Ruth, R-U-T-H, Ruth, not Luke. They kind of sound the same, right? So it's the book of Ruth, chapter 1, Old Testament. Ruth chapter 1. And while you are finding that scripture, we want to welcome those who may be viewing live by way of Facebook or YouTube. I'm not sure which it is or if it's both, but we thank you for tuning in. And anytime you are in the area, we want you to come and sit with us here in the auditorium at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, the legendary Fifth Ward. Amen, Church of Christ. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And of course, my wife is here with me this morning. Just raise your hand if she's sitting right to my right, your left. And I always tell people when I preach in different places, that's for all the single men in the audience. It's all right to smile. You can laugh. I don't let my size fool you now. Under this suit, there's some curves and some. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty had afflicted me?" I want to take the subject from the phrase, "I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty." What to use for our tag this morning, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. I realize that this congregation and a couple of families have, the death angel has passed, and we are praying for you for your comfort in the Lord. I really can sympathize with you. In January of this year, my father-in-law, who was just like my father, talking to my mother-in-law in the kitchen, and she looked up and he was on his knees, fell back and died right there on the spot. So we we have been experiencing some grief lately, so we understand what you are dealing with, and we will have you on our prayer list. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. The book of Ruth is an anomaly in the sacred text, and that it bears the name of a woman within the canon of Scripture. The other book that bears the name of a woman is the book of Esther. The book of Ruth is also distinctive because it bears the name of a Moabite woman. The Moabites were not the people of God because they originated out of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his elder daughter, according to Genesis chapter 19, verses number 30 through verse number 38. Although the Moabites were on the opposite side of God's will, there are some interesting things that took place in the land of Moab. It was in the plains of Moab the children of Israel had their last encampment before they entered the land of Canaan. Numbers chapter 22, verse number 1, Joshua chapter 13, verse number 32. It was from the top of Mount Pisgah that the mighty prophet Moses looked upon the promised land. It was here on Nebo that he died his solitary death. It was in the plains of Moab, in the valley over Bet Peor, where he was buried. During that time, it was one of the darkest days of Israel. During the days of the judges, God will show his grace in a Moabite woman named Ruth as a silver lining to show us that even in the midst of our darkest times, nothing can stop God's predestined hand. It shows us that in the midst of a mess, God can see what really matters. It shows us that when God's hand is upon you, nothing can stop God from blessing you. The Bible says in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, in those days there were no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Kind of reminds me of where we are today in America. There was a time, church, when our society respected and was founded on biblical truth. We didn't have to argue over what constituted a marriage. They sending folk to jail for teaching stuff like that now, so I got to be careful. But the Bible says that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says. There was a time we didn't have to argue over the ethics of abortion, because we understand that at the moment of conception, that life is sacred. We didn't have to argue over whether a cross could be displayed in a public place. We didn't have to wonder and worry about prayer in school. We didn't have to argue about what the word pride stood for. Preach, Brother Wilson. We have gotten further and further from the will of God. And I believe that just like God put President Obama in the White House. Y'all gonna help me? That he put Donald Trump in the White House. Because the Bible says that God is the one that appoint kings and princes. Is that not right? And so when we had somebody good, yeah, we didn't appreciate him. And so now God says, I'm going to show you. Now, some of y'all may like Donald Trump. I don't have nothing against Donald Trump. I respect Donald Trump because whether or not, you know, some folk used to say, well, Obama, they didn't say president, they said Obama. He's not my president. But the fact of the matter is, he was your president. And for those of you who say, well, President Trump is not my president, newsflash, whether you like it or not, honey child, he's your president. And so we live in an age of moral relativity, where we are told there is no such thing as absolute standards. It is up to every individual to decide what is right for themselves. When you look at this small but yet powerful, impactful pericope of scripture in the book of Ruth, there are many lessons that we can glean, and that is taught from these pages. There are lessons about love. We learn that Ruth loved her mother-in-law. There are lessons about hard times. There are lessons about friendship, lessons about recovery. We are told and we learn that no matter how difficult life becomes, no matter how low you become in life, no matter how low you may find yourself, you can recover. We learn about decisions, about faithfulness, about faithlessness. We learn about the importance of family. This book teaches us about real life. But I believe the most important lesson that is taught in this book is about the redemption of God. It shows us that it does not matter where you come from. It does not matter if you are from Fifth Ward or if you're from River Oaks. Amen, somebody. It does not matter if you are from a small town in Louisiana or H-Town. Nothing can stop God's hand of providence when God's hand is upon you. God can do what he wants. God can do when he wants it. God can do where he wants it and with who he wants to do it with. And so let's look at this text for a minute. God used a Gentile woman to show us the power of his grace. You know, sometimes we cannot really appreciate God's grace because we often don't really see the depthness of our sin. God's grace goes deeper than the depthness of our sin. And so here God will teach us that everybody is loved by me. Everybody, no matter what your past may have been, everybody has a chance with God. And so look at this. I like to say that this is like a story that you watch, a movie rather, that you watch on television, and the movie unfolds, and it unfolds. First of all, there's the development, the story develops, and then there is something that gives the story a distinctiveness. Those are the parts of the story that you and I talk about. Those are the parts of the story that we remember. That's the distinctiveness of the story. Then there are some differences, and then we're going to notice God's, how God designed this story and how it unfolds. It doesn't end like it starts. And so sometime our lives can look like it's not going well, but God always has a way to step in. And so when God steps in, and you'll know he's there. So let's look at this real quick. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. In the first case, if you keep in notes, in the first case, let's look at Elimelech's decision. All right, now let's read. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Malon and Chilion, Epaphroditus of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, the city of Athens, not Moab, the city of Athens, it was said about the city of Athens, it was a good place to pass through, but it was a dangerous place to linger in. So to the faithful Israelite, Moab could have been no more than this. But the Bible says in verse number 2, in regards to his wife, Elimelech, and his family, that they didn't just pass through Moab. The Bible says they continued there. So in other words, because of the famine in the land, he left Bethlehem, Judah, which is called the house of bread. So he left the house of bread looking for bread. And instead of him just saying, you know what, I'm going to wait until the Lord pass back and send his blessing upon this city, Elimelech made a rash decision. And let me suggest something to you. Anytime you make a rash decision, you should not make a decision based on the here and now. You have to remember that there is always going to be a later on. And so he had forgotten that there was a later on. And because he made a rash decision, he did not consult God. He put his family in a difficult situation. And so sometimes the decisions that you make in your life not only hurts you, but it hurts those around you. Now, while they were there in Moab, the Bible would tell us that Elimelech died. Malon and Chilion, their children, their sons, also died. Now his wife Naomi is left there with her two daughter-in-laws in a foreign land. You know, it reminds me of real life. You never know where life is going to take you. You know, and sometimes church life gets so difficult and so bad, you have no other choice but to depend on God. Sometimes when life knocks you down to your knees, that may be the best place for you to be. And so his decision put his family in a bad situation. He had good intentions, but his family was in a bad situation. Elimelech have forgotten that God was the great provider. He had forgotten that God was the way maker. He had forgotten that God is able to open doors where there is no door. He had forgotten that God was able to make provisions because he moved too fast. You know, I'm still young, but the more experienced I become in life, I realize that it's best sometimes to just go slow. Am I right about it? See, sometimes when you're moving too fast, there are some things that you miss. And Elimelech moved too fast. And so let me tell you something to all my young people in here. Don't ever think that your parents don't know what you're trying to do. Yeah, I told one student this Friday, we all been 15 before. Amen. We know this game. The verbiage changed. Some of the words changed. But it's all the same. Solomon taught us nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing new. So don't think you can pull a wool, amen, over your parents' eyes. Because they've been there. And sometimes you have to listen. Take your time. You will be older longer than you will be younger. I think I said something. I went to the eye doctor last week and I said, Doc, I have glaucoma. And I said, Doc, I think I have a problem. I said, when I'm reading and I look up, there's a whole lot of blur and it takes me a while to refocus again. She says, Mr. Wilson, ain't nothing wrong with you. You just getting old. I said, well, thanks for the encouragement. But don't be so quick to move. You ever heard the statement, if something is for you, if God has something for you, yes, it's for you, can't nobody take it from you? And so that's Elimelech's decision. Now, watch Naomi's dilemma. Look at verse number 3 through verse 5. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left. And her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left, her two sons and her husband. In other words, they died. The King James reads a little different. So here it is. You are in a foreign land. Stranger in a foreign land. Your provider is gone. The next to him to provide is also gone. And there's some history behind women and their husbands. We don't have time to discuss all of this in this text. So now you are trying to figure out, well, we left to get bread, but the breadwinner dies. So how will I go out and be able to provide for myself and provide for my two daughter-in-laws? Life happens. And so Naomi has this discussion with her two daughter-in-laws. And I'm going to paraphrase to make it a little quicker. She says, well, I don't want you to wait until with me until I have some more children. Will you wait until they become old enough for you to marry? She's saying, go back to your homeland and go back and enjoy your life. She said, well, God had dealt very bitterly with me. In other words, God has tested me. I don't want you to be in the same boat as I am. So you don't have to deal with what I'm dealing with. I am encouraging you to go back what you know, go back where you came from, because I believe that there are better things for you where you came from. You see, sometimes home is good, but sometimes there's nothing at home. Sometimes it's better to be in another place where you have more opportunity. And so Naomi is saying, listen, I know you may be thinking that here is better for you, but look what I had to go through. In other words, learn from me. Don't go through the same things I had to go through. So Naomi, Ruth says, well, you know what? She says in verse number 17, she says, where you die, I will die. And where you are buried, I will be buried. So Ruth says, you can tell me what you want. I'm not going anywhere. But her other daughter-in-law, Orpah, kissed her mother-in-law. And the Bible says she left. Now, there are a lot of things that we could say about this, but I want to say just a few things. There are some people that's in your life only for a season. There are some people, if you want to find out who your real friends are, tell them the bad news before you tell them the good news. And if they still hanging around after you have told them the bad news, then you have yourself a good friend. But if they are gone, they are in your life for only a reason, for only a season. And the folk who walk out of your life is not tied to your destiny, rather, is not tied to the people who walks out of your life. Listen, you may be saying, well, Brother Wilson, he left me. She left me. I don't understand why they left. Well, if they left, let them go. because your destiny is not tied to those who walk out of your life. So our part of the Bible says, kiss her mother-in-law and left. But Naomi says, where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. Your God shall be my God. And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. Naomi was dealing with the adversities of life. See, when the adversities of the winds of adversity blow, sometime you don't have anybody to trust but God. God promised us that no matter how difficult life becomes, that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Is that right? So there's a friend that you can always depend on in the person of God. And so Orpah left. Ruth stayed. Now watch this. Orpah went back to Moab. But Moab doesn't represent necessarily something good. Moab is a representation of dissatisfaction. It's a representation of doubt, discontent. And so sometimes it's good, church, just to stay where you are. Because to go back, see, a Christian who has tasted the goodness of God and goes back to the world, you are telling God that everything that I had in you, I don't appreciate it. And I'd rather go back to where there was doubt, there was disbelief, there is discontent, there is struggle, there is no peace. That's what Moab represented. And so Orpah rather would go back to something that represents something negative instead of staying with something positive. And so I'm here to encourage you this morning that no matter how difficult it may become in your life as a Christian, there is nothing better than staying with the Lord. No matter how difficult it may become dealing with people in the church, there is nothing better than having a relationship with God. Because God is here. God is not in the world. Amen. If you understand what I'm saying, now God is everywhere. But God's peace is found in a relationship with him. When you are in the world and you are doing things of the world, the Holy Spirit can't dwell with that stuff. And so, church, no matter how difficult it may become, I encourage you to stay. Stay with God. And so let me close. And let's talk about for a moment Ruth's disposition. Ruth's disposition. There is a significance between Naomi and Ruth's relationship. Now, we don't have time to discuss all these verses, but as Naomi and Ruth go back to, they're going to go back to Bethlehem. Because they're going to hear of the barley harvest that's about to take place. God, they heard God had visited his people in Bethlehem. So they leave from Moab and travel back to Bethlehem just in time for the barley harvest. And so when Naomi gets back and Ruth gets back to Bethlehem, her friends say, well, is this, look, Naomi. And so Naomi says, well, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because God has dealt with me very bitterly. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. But what Naomi didn't realize what was about to happen is that God was about to bless her 10 times more than she was blessed before. And see, what we have to understand as Christians, as those who have relationship with God, it does not matter when it seems like you don't have nothing. God's blessing is just right around the corner. So all we have to do is learn how to hold on. When it seems like you want to give up, just don't give up. Because your blessing may be around the next block. So you have to just keep traveling until God blesses you how you want to be blessed. See, Naomi didn't know what she's about to go back to. And so as she go, there are some fields in Bethlehem. And as the harvest was taking place, there were no fences to separate the fields. And so when Naomi's going to go to work, she's going to go to work in Boaz's field, not knowing that Boaz was going to be the one to bless her, and later on, Boaz and Naomi would become husband and wife. And so at the same time, because Ruth was so faithful to Naomi, God blesses her also. And y'all do know Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So God used a Moabite woman to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So that's very important for us to understand. But let's look at, in a practical manner, what is significant about Naomi and Ruth's relationship. Well, first of all, Ruth was sent by God to be a blessing to Naomi. You never know in your life, hear me well, when God places certain people in your life, it's for a reason. When God puts you before certain people in your life, it's for a reason. There's always a method to God's madness with people. And so God placed Ruth in Naomi's life to be a blessing to her. And in turn, both of them would be a blessing to each other. You have to know, church, when God is positioning you to bless you, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Y'all missed that. Real quick, Steve Harvey spoke at Alabama State University in Montgomery, the 2016 commencement. He was the 2016 commencement speaker. The Alabama State University presented Steve Harvey with a Doctor of Humane Letters. Now, if you know anything about Steve Harvey, Steve Harvey didn't go to college. Well, he went, but he didn't stay. He left. So as he's talking to the graduates, I found this to be very profound. Steve Harvey says, I prayed to God and asked him to expand my image globally. He said, but he didn't tell me how he was going to do it. Y'all remember a few years ago, Steve Harvey announced the wrong queen for the pageant. Now, whoever made the mistake, he said the teleprompter had what he read. And when he went back in the green room, he said the producer told him, we're going to fix it in the morning. He made the decision to come out and make it right on national television, because it was instilled in him to be a man of integrity. And so Steve said within the next couple of days, his name was Googled over a billion times. And he became known. Y'all not hearing me. He became known globally. So he said, I asked God to bless my image globally, but I didn't know how he would do it. See, sometimes, he said, when God is trying to bless you, he will put you in some very uncomfortable positions. He said, because that happened to me, I had to end up getting security because I had a lot of debt threats. And he says, because of that very moment, I was blessed. A few weeks after that happened, he had Miss Columbia on his talk show. That particular show, he says, had the highest ratings of every show since he had been on the air. And so you say, bro, why are you telling us this? I'm telling you that because sometime when God is getting ready to bless you, there are some things you may have to just go through. Because God has to see what God had to do with Steve Harvey. He had to humble him. And he had to show him, listen, you cannot do what you do if it is not for my grace. And listen, none of us in here is able to do what we do without the grace of God. You are who you are because of the grace of God. You are who you are because God has blessed you. You have what you have in your life because of the grace of God. Don't ever forget that. And so Ruth was put. See, sometimes you may ask God, why did I have to run across this person? Why do I have to run across that person? Because God is getting ready to do something. And so God shows us that relationships are important. This relationship between Naomi and Ruth shows us what commitment looks like. It shows us what true love looks like. It shows us how God offered his love to Israel in spite of their rebellion towards him. This relationship between Naomi and Ruth shows us that God will put the right people in your life at the right time. It also shows us that we serve an on-time God. It shows us that we should trust God when trusting God is difficult. It shows us not only Ruth's disposition, but it shows us how God can care for us through somebody else. I know, you know, if you've been living 3 days, you understand that there are some people that's difficult to love. There are some people that's difficult to trust. So what God does with this is he shows us that when your faith and your trust is in me, then I will bless you with the people in your life when you need them the most. Now, that was a story told about somebody who was dealing with some difficulty. And he says this. He says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She shouted all the way. But none the better was I for all she had to say. I walked a mile with trouble. Now a word said she. But oh, the things I learned that day when trouble walked with me. So you learn a lot in difficulty. You know, it's good to win, but your greatest lessons are learned in losses. And just because you lost doesn't mean that you fail. Let me say that to this side. This side didn't get it. Just because you lost doesn't mean that you fail. It is just a battle in the war. But we know that through God, the victory is already won. The fight is fixed, y'all. So next time in your life when you experience some difficult times, just think to yourself, the fight is fixed. All you gotta do is just keep going through it. Because on the other side, you will be victorious. And so what Ruth and Naomi teaches us is that in times of difficulty, God is our help. In times of despair, God is our joy. In times of doubt, he is our belief. In times of stress, he's our peace. In times of loneliness, he is our friend. In times of discomfort, he is our delight. Where there is no way, he can make a way for us. He's a way maker. When others have turned their backs on us, God is with us every step of the way. In times of worry, he provides contentment. In times of trouble, he's our comfort. In times of faithlessness, God is faithful to us. So I want to encourage you this morning, when it seems like you are down to nothing, just know that we have a God that's working behind the scenes. You may not see it, but just trust him. You know, somebody said, when you can't trust the hand, or you can't see the hand of God move, you got to learn how to trust the heart of God. And so, I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know what some of you are dealing with. But I can tell you this, that whatever you are dealing with, we serve a God that is able. We serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Let me tell you this, then I'll extend the invitation. See, we have to get to a point, church, where we stop talking about God and trusting God. I think I said something again. See, somebody say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And you get in your car and you complain all the way home. Those two things don't go together. How are you? I'm wonderful. You know, now you know when folk ask me how you doing, I say, which answer you want? You want the real answer or you want the normal everyday lie? Because sometimes, if you're honest, you're not feeling that well. And sometimes, if you are honest with me, you don't always trust God. Amen. Now, you see, I'm finished. Y'all better say amen. I'll stay up here 30 more minutes. But whatever you need in your life, I believe that God is able to bless you. And church, we have to get back to believing that we serve a God that is able. In all beautiful prayer I prayed this morning, in all this turmoil that's taking place, we got to believe that God is still in control. And God is in control. Don't you know when God has enough, he knows how to stop it? Because he's all powerful. And in your life, God knows how to stop folk who's trying to hurt you, and God knows who to send in your life to bless you. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a visitor and if you are struggling with giving your life to God, there is no better place and there is no better time than to give your life to God on this Sunday morning. There's no better time in our world than to give your life to God today. And God will help you navigate the dangers of this world. God will bless you. God will help you to see that you have made the right decision. And for those of us who are members of the Lord's church, and you say, well, Brother Wilson, my life is not going like I wanted. I just don't understand. Well, you just hold on. Because the harvest is coming. You will reap what you have sown. You just have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. You come by hearing God's word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being buried in the water grave of baptism. I still believe in baptism, y'all. I haven't changed. I know some of our preachers and some of our churches have gotten so modernized, they don't tell people what to do to be saved. Amen, but I'm old school. Yeah, I believe here. Yeah, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Amen. You got to tell folk what to do to be saved. try to feed people into the church. I told you that last time I was here. You can't feed people in the church. The gospel saves people, not me. Amen. And so if you want to be saved, if you need prayer, if you need comfort, we are here to pray for you. Will you come? Why would you got to stand and sing?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I
will you come?
Hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere.